Recorder's on.
Thank you for being here, to those that are stepping out. So now we're going to call to order our RTEC meeting. Again, it's September 13th. It's 2:11 p.m. We do have a quorum present, so we will be able to take action on the items on the agenda. However, we will have to rearrange just a little bit. Item 3 and 4 needed to be voted on in the COG meeting, so we will adjourn the RTEC meeting and then reopen the COG meeting and cover items 3 and 4. Hopefully it won't be confusing. It'll move along seamlessly. So we need approval of the minutes for July 5th, 2023.
I'm going to approve the minutes from July 5th, 2023, as presented.
I would second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Was that Commissioner Wood that seconded?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Any opposed? All right. Motion carries. Now moving ahead to item number five. This is the updated corridor preservation application form presented by Rich Wilson.
Clarification. We still need to take a recommendation from the RTEC on items 3 and 4. Are you just going to come back to those?
Okay, so do you want to...
Yeah, we want a recommendation from the RTEC to the COG. Then when you adjourn, we'll agree to take action in the COG.
Okay, so are we starting then with Reed. Item number 3 with Reed?
Thank you.
Thank you, Reed.
This is an item that we discussed last time, I believe, I talked to the RTEC about it. This is the Safety Streets for All program that we were doing a county-wide safety study on. And in order to do the study, we submitted the grant application to the feds, but our match was 100. Now I can't even remember. Was it 80? We had to reconfigure our ask because the total amount was, we were going to ask for $500,000 and we were going to put $100,000 in as match from the local corridor preservation fund and have a $600,000 project. When we submitted it that way in the application, they said if the ask is $600,000 for the total project, then your contribution needs to be $120,000. Because it needs to be 20%. So we're having to pay, we have to fund a match on our match. That's essentially the way it works. So what we did was we retailored the ask so that our ask was $580,000 or something. Anyway, so it was $480,000 and $120,000 match to get $600,000 project. So the ask is $120,000 match, is what our match is for a $600,000 project. So that is from the Local Corridor Preservation Fund. This group would, if they feel like that this is a worthy project, which we've been talking about for a couple of months now, that we would hire a consultant to do the study, identify all of the safety concerns in the county and help prioritize those, that would give us the tool that we need to then go seek grant funding under this program in subsequent years to make those improvements. And that could be, you know, a special intersection, a bridge, a flood structure, anything related to transportation that is a safety concern. And that's what this money would be used for. So the recommendation from the RTEC committee was that we fund $120,000 from the Local Core Preservation Fund to match this federal grant. Any questions about that? Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
So we would like an action from the ARTEC to recommend this funding request to the COG, the Council of Governments.
Okay, so I will entertain a recommendation as a motion.
I'll make a recommendation to provide a $120,000 match grant request.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Thank you. Moving now to item number 4. This is the Cedar Belt Route Corridor acquisition.
Which is along that same line, requesting for acceptance of the recommendation. The Belt Route has been on the plans for a number of years, and ever since the price of property has been going up, since I started, I felt that we should start acquiring property before it became outrageous. It already became outrageous. So what I presented before you is the first page shows properties that we either have acquired or wish to acquire. And I'll just go through this quickly. The first one on your front page is the Jensen property, number 54, starting from the bottom up. You approved that the last time, and we have acquired that property. It's a long, narrow strip. Then the next property, which has yet to be acquired, is the Padian LLC property, which is, again, a long, narrow strip, number 6. Then 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1, we want to acquire those as well as number 9. But I wanted to take, I gave you some information. We had those properties appraised, and I have approached the owners of those properties. And as you can, if you look through, you have the appraisal. So you can make an informed decision. But this is the recommendation, is that these purchase prices be approved, and then we can write a P&S to the landowners. Padden LLC has accepted the...
You didn't know we had rail in Maryland, we do.
Oh. So, Bart, who is the owner, has stopped by. We spoke, Mr. Hatfield and I, and he accepted. He didn't like the price. He thought it was worth more than that, but it's 100 feet wide. As I pointed out, it's not a very buildable lot. 5 acres, 100 feet wide. So he has accepted the offer price of $100,000. I'll skip Donaldson, though you have their appraised value. They're $20,000 for each of those two lots. She felt they were worth 10 times that much. Mr.
Did she know they couldn't be built on because they won't have septic? They're not getting enough for septic?
I explained to her when I was on the phone they were a road. They would be a road, they are a road, they will be a road. And there's nowhere in this world that a 1 acre lot out there is worth $200,000.
So is she going to accept them?
No, she hasn't yet accepted. But the other three owners north of her have all accepted the appraised price of $20,000, $22,000, and
$20,000.
Is that right?
Let's get to one highway. More money, is that one?
I don't know what reason one of them was $22,000. Maybe because of its location. I don't know. And then they have accepted. We just need to go through with the P&S for 4 of these properties. The Padden LLC. I apologize. I cannot pronounce that name. Cromley I can pronounce, and Garcia, but Goy? I cannot. So they have accepted the offer. of 20 or 22,000, depending which lot it is. And so our tech recommendation is that we in the next meeting we approve to proceed with those purchases through the Corridor Preservation Fund. And without taking a lot of time, I did want to discuss lot number 9 on your second to last page is a better view of that. Oh, you have one right there.
Okay.
I see you sharing it. So you see that is that triangular piece? That triangular piece is part of the property at Crossland Highway. So it is of an interest of it in and of itself. Those owners have actually approached us, and they're talking about subdivision and other things. And Reed has tried to help them understand it would be of their benefit to do a dedication and immediately get a subdivision. In other words, a division of their lot, because they could do a road dedication. They're holding back off of that right now. But I had told them that we are interested in the triangle. And being interested in that triangle is because the realignment done by Kimley Horn, which we don't have up here, takes most of that lot. We'll go a little north with the belt route, but we'll also adjust Lund Highway to come into to square up Lund Highway a little bit at the crossing. So rather than being that severe angle, it'll almost be I think it's an 80 degree angle, and I told Tippett that the value of that property that we would offer is $15,000. I did not have that appraised because it's a bit more complicated, because it's a portion of a big piece, and I explained though that it's a very difficult piece of land. They thought that perhaps it was more valuable because of its location. And I said, where's your setbacks? How do you build on something that's about 1 acre? Yeah. Yeah, it's a small lot. It's difficult. In fact, that's why we took all the other lots in totality. They're 1 acre lots. We're running up the middle of them. Nothing's left that will be of usability. So with that, I wanted to discuss that briefly. And then if you look at the last page, this page here, and I don't know if this is quite the right meaning before we break, but let's discuss it. Would you look at 43 down there? It's the one that's numbered 43. And we had a discussion about this morning, and we just wanted you to know that's going to split that lot fairly in half. And what it's going to leave is that area is zoned R20. So it's going to leave two non-conforming lots. The portion of the belt route is almost 3 acres. Even only being 100 feet wide, it adds up to about three acres worth of property. And this will have to go to the county commissioners. But we have discussed, for public good, it may be the benefit of a master plan road to allow a property like this to become two legal lots. And that, I have talked to the realtor on this property. One of the reasons we approach these people is because it's for sale. And I just don't feel good having someone buy a property only to find out later that there's actually a belt route going through your property. The realtor seems surprised. He was unaware. I don't know why. But it seemed like it was more appealing if they could give us a road dedication and come up with two legal lots. Because otherwise, they'd have to go through the subdivision process, and the 20-acre, it's reduced, it's not big enough, there's all kinds of complications. So we would, in essence, be telling them, we're taking the middle, but you really only have one lot. So, but that's for a different discussion. That's for an ordinance change. But we have discussed what to do. Yeah. The east side would have 4,000 for access, and the west side would have 4,000 and 4,400 west. So that's the nice thing. It doesn't become an orphan lot. It's, if you notice 46 to the north of it, it's in red. The reason that's red is because that because of this alignment, 46 will not have road access. We can't solve all the problems of everything at this time, but we felt that it was a good time to approach those owners since they were looking to sell it. And there's a few others like that we'll be approaching as well. But why I bring that to your attention is they're wanting $225,000 for that 20 acres. And if we can sweeten the deal by giving them two lots and just obtaining the road right away, to be quite frank, the realtor said, oh, I can see the benefit. I'll sell two lots for 150 each, and that's more than 225. So, whatever happens in the future. So, that's what's before you right now, and that's the information. You have the appraisals, and we would like to proceed with purchase and sales on lot, on number, on the front page, Garcia, Cromroy, Goy, and how do you say that route? That subdivision? This PALD, Palden? Is that it? I don't know either. Have to. So, I think that's it.
So, I need a recommendation to the COG to approve that funding for the local corridor preservation fund.
Okay. So, we'd like to make that motion.
I'm going to recommend that we use the floor to see Cedar Bell Route program acquisition from the COGs.
Second. All those in favor?
I apologize. The RTAC also recommended,
though we have not reached an agreement with Donaldson on those two lots, I think it was recommended at that time that if we obtain an agreement to purchase them at the appraised value of $20,000 a lot, that we go ahead and do that instead of coming back at this the next time and asking for that. So if I can negotiate the appraised value and they recognize that they're not as valuable as they think they are. Those are Donaldson's lots on
4 and 5.
I didn't bring my paper.
Complete recommendations for which
lot? What I'm saying is that we use corridor funds to purchase those as well, even though we don't have a verbal or a written agreement yet at the price. But it would not exceed the $20,000 appraised value.
So tell me the numbers
of lots in this page that you want. So right here, Donaldson, I spoke to her, 4 and 5, she was not willing to agree to
the.
So I would like to include them so we don't have to come back on that, as long as it doesn't exceed the
appraised value. Which other lots are on the recommendation?
Oh, 1, 2, 3.
So 1, 2, 3.
And 6.
4, 5, and 6.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, I've been my recommendation to include lot 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
I'll second that.
Mm-hmm. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Moving now to item number 5, the updated corridor preservation application form. You sat down, so I thought, what are you doing?
Okay, so I apologize. I did not come with the changes, and I don't know if it's appropriate to even ask for this. What we removed was UDOT's portions. So in the old application fund, there were steps that involved UDOT. UDOT is no longer involved in the corridor acquisition process. So what my office did was we just, everywhere UDOT was an approving party, we just removed them. And that's what we're asking, is that we just allow the form to change to remove those steps.
May I add additional clarification? This is not an action item. This does not require the approval of the board. This was an information item only, because there's nothing of substance in that. It's just showing you what the new application form looks like. And we'll email that out to you so you can look at it, and you'll have that. We will come back at the next meeting with policy changes in the policy that we adopted that has the language that UDOT needs to be removed from, because that's who we used to have to take. We'd make a recommendation, UDOT would approve it and give us the money. Then they've sent us, since then, the money, we control it, so we need to take them out of the policy. That will require action next time. This one is simply an informational item. Thank you.
Thanks, Ruth.
Okay, moving now to item 6, RPO discussions with city councils.
Yes, thank you. So this discussion came from last week at the ULCT conference. It was the Five County Association of Governments. We were lucky enough to have a booth there this year, which is great because we got to talk to a lot of the communities all in one room. And also city councils. And while Rob was at my booth and we were talking about some stuff, one of our city council members came up and was asking questions about the AOG, and we were talking to him about the RPO, because this council member was in Iron County. And there you go, oh, I've never heard of the RPO. So we thought it would be a good idea to start maybe once or twice a year as an RPO, going around talking to our city council, so they're a little more aware of what we are doing in this room. And this is not an action item, but it's a good discussion item to have with you all, since you sit on the executive council. So that's it. We just want to meet with the city councils a few times a year. Okay. Thanks.
So are you thinking you want to schedule this before the end of the year? Are you thinking next year?
We haven't come up with a plan yet. We may discuss that at the advisory committee. But we could schedule them anytime. And it can, I mean, is there 6 communities in Iron County? It would be almost once a month. Mm-hmm. So. One month. So yeah, we don't have it. We have none of our schedule, but we'll start working on that soon.
It was rather shocking to hear a prominent city council member from a prominent city, which is one of our cities, to be honest, that absolutely had no idea that there was such thing as an RPO, or there was transportation planning at this extent, or even a priority list. Had no idea. But I was just. Wow.
Well, it's a lot when you get elected, isn't it? Anyways, there's all these acronyms that you have to.
I hope it was a newly elected one. No.
Oh, well, I just had Bartek
earlier today, so I also think it depends on how overloaded we are at any given moment, and then we find the context again. But no, that's, I think it's great. So thank you for offering that. That's a lot of work for you, so appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Moving now to item number 7, UDOT updates and business. The A is South Cedar Interchange update, and B is other updates by Chris Hall.
Thank you. So the South Cedar Interchange update, we just had some public meetings in Cedar City last week that was open. If you didn't have a chance to make it to those, we essentially have 5 proposed interchange designs that we're going to move forward to look at the environmental impacts and the other impacts to decide which option best fits the need there. I don't have the website with me, but I'll put it on the meeting minutes and give it to Nate, and he can send it out. So if you want to look at those different types, you can look at it. We have a complete video of the online portion of that meeting recorded, so if you missed it and you want to know more about it, you can look at it. We're also, that was is part of our public comment process, so it's going to be open until October 6th, the public comment, for this first public comment on it. So if you want to, you can Google South Cedar Interchange UDOT, and it will pull up the like one of the first ones is the UDOT website that allows you to make comments, if you'd like to make comments. The process is often misconstrued. The environmental process isn't a public vote or a popularity contest. It's a process. So public comments need to be substantiative and specific, not I don't like it or I do like it. It needs to be I use this section of road daily, and here are the concerns I have with it due to safety, or if this alternative selected, this is how it would impact me, and it's maybe some of those specific impacts that it would have to the community, rather than I like it or don't like it, or do it or don't do it, because we need to have those specific instances documented for the comments to be helpful. So just putting it out there, so if people ask about it and want to make comments for or against, make sure to let them know that it needs to be specific, and how they use it and how that's going to impact them, so that we can make sure in this process that we look at those impacts and try to mitigate those impacts with whatever option is selected out of the process. So any other questions on the South Cedar Interchange?
Did it leave? I haven't seen it yet. I was hoping that you would bring it. did it leave a lot of stuff, Phil?
That is something that's highly on our radar. We know about it. A lot of the Livestock Association came to those public meetings. They specifically said that any covered crossing will not work for them. It needs to be open air. Three of the options would move a lot of the interchange traffic to the south, which would leave the ability for the city to close down the current Main Street and let them cross through there, rather than through a different place, and so that it would just be one street impacted and not the whole interchange. So there's different options there. I don't know that there's good options to build a specific bridge for them or something like that, so it may be that it has to go through a street, and depending on how often, it just might be an impact to the traffic on those specific occasions. That is something that we're taking in consideration in the environmental process, and it may get the final solution during our design process to say what works best to meet the criteria.
That's too narrow, is what you were telling us. So you're going to pull it out. the overpass that is there for the livestock now?
So in the future, we're going to have to widen I-15, and that structure is too narrow to widen I-15 underneath it. And it is past its typical lifespan, because it was built when the interstate was first built. So it is nearing the end of its usable lifespan. So it needs to be rebuilt if something is put back there. It's not really a usable structure anymore, based on how old it is, kind of past its usable lifespan.
So we talked about in the trails, about maybe making something for livestock and foot traffic, runners.
That was our preference and our, I guess, the win-win. But from the feedback from the ranchers, they said that would probably not work for them. So it's something that we're going to have to...
It would only be one day here and there.
Yeah, so it's something that we'll have to coordinate more with them on. And we've heard a lot about the livestock rights there. We have always just... we've always tried to honor it and make it work. We haven't ever seen any recorded easement or right for them to go through there.
We have livestock trails that come down through there.
Yeah, and so so it's something that we try and honor, but we haven't seen any documented things to say we have to, but it's something that we're continually working for. But some of the conversation is that as more and more traffic is in that area, that existing livestock trail, there may be some conversations to say, what can we do to move it or truck them or something, because at some point it may become a public safety issue to put livestock through that busy of an area. But once again, those are all conversations that still need to be had. And right now we're working on the assumption that we're going to just make sure we take care of their needs, unless it becomes more of an issue than we see right now as we get into that design process or the environmental process, and we'll definitely have more conversations of how that can be rectified or worked out.
Yeah, that's the main livestock coming off of right now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of livestock up there. So.
Yeah.
Some have opted to haul theirs, which is animals off, but some still want to bring them down if they have large herds.
Yeah.
So much more cost effective to herd them down there. Myself, I would like to see at the overpass for foot traffic, and it would only be in the fall and spring that you would have a few days that the livestock would go across. The rest of the time that people would be able to use it to get from one side to, all those different trail systems.
And that is something that I think we will consider. We found that a lot of times that depending on the location, tunnels work better for pedestrian access, because if we go over, there's often steep climbs, lots of stairs, or a big ramp that goes back and forth for AD access. So, and then once again, that doesn't work for livestock. So there is those design considerations that it may not be feasible to make an overpass there that would be ideal for livestock. So it's something that we are considering. It's in the forefront of our thoughts as we're going through this process, and it may not be able to be solved in the environmental process, but it might be through the design process as we have more information and working in much more detail. So. So it is nearing the end of its lifespan. It's a very old structure. Once again, it's not wide enough to accommodate future plans to widen I-15. So regardless of what happens, that structure needs to be replaced. And so that's part of this process, saying what is the best structure to replace it with. But where we're replacing, because we need to address the interchange itself, we will build it for that future widening of I-15 when we do this work.
And how about the I-15 over the current intersection?
So that one is old as well, because I think they were built about the same time. So they're both...
That's a pretty major.
Yeah. 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 No salvaging any of the structures. That will all have to be rebuilt.
Not for livestock. They tried that before with the drainage, and you'll get killed in there.
Yes, that existing one is really small. We were hopeful that if we build a very large tunnel that it might work, but they said that would probably not work. But so
the livestock, they're fearful when they go into a tunnel.
Yeah.
It's the flight thing that they have, that somebody's going to jump on their back. And so a tunnel is very striking for animals.
Okay. Any other questions on the South Cedar Interchange process? Okay. Other updates. We're continuing construction on SR 14. A lot of paving going on, lots of flagging and delays. So be aware that that's happening. I believe that's scheduled to be done this year. I'm not sure of the exact completion date on that paving job. And I think there may be some other interstate resurfacing projects. I'm not sure if they're inside the county or outside the county. Anyways, we've got a couple of maintenance projects going on. I think that's all that we have currently going on. Besides, I'm also filling in for Jonathan on the solutions developments.
Question. Yep. North Interchange Cedar City construction starts on the 18th or something?
I'm not aware completely, but I can find out for you.
I don't remember what they're doing. I just run the signs are out.
Yeah, because that one is on the interstate, right? I believe we're resurfacing or micro-surfacing on the interstate just for pavement preservation.
Yeah, but it's on the overpass.
Oh, it's on the overpass. Yeah. Okay, that may be different. I'm not sure what that one is. So, yep. So if you want me, I can move into the next item for Jonathan, if you're ready for it.
I have a quick question on 143. David Burke keeps talking about some culverts and paving baskets and...
I have not heard an update on that one. Okay. I can get back with you. I know that we got some federal dollars to do that one. I believe it was advertised, and then we had to re-advertise it because there's a lot of questions from the contractor. But I believe it should be moving forward, and I'm not sure what time frame that would be as far as construction.
Okay, thank you. But, yeah.
So you're also Jonathan.
Yep, I'm going to cover for Jonathan on the next one. So we had our stakeholder meeting last night. We held it from 5:30 to 7. So if members of the public did want to come and find more about it, they could, but it was mainly a stakeholders group meeting. A lot of people from the downtown economic development in Cedar City came. Essentially, we proposed our recommendations. Iron County / Cedar City put a lot of extra money into the study to do a downtown revitalization and kind of a landscaping plan. So it showed a lot of trees and beautification and other efforts in the downtown area, wider sidewalks. The plan shows reduced parking along Main Street through there to accommodate more active transportation, wider sidewalks, bike lanes, and then more streetscape and street trees and center medians in the future. We also are proposing center medians throughout most of the state routes in Cedar City, just for access management to make it safer and handle more capacity. So when there's medians in the road, it eliminates those left turns, which therefore eliminates that a lot of conflict, so the road can handle more cars without the same congestion. There's no time frame on funding. This is kind of a visioning statement of here are some solutions that will help Cedar City be relatively less congested on the state routes. So that's something we have also, part of that study, we identified key areas where there are higher crash rates that would be the first places to get medians, because the primary purpose of the medians is to increase safety. The secondary is for increasing capacity. So we've highlighted the median areas where they're the highest crash rates to be put in first. But once again, we don't have any funding identified for these. This is just a vision of, in the future, this is what we expect the state highways in Cedar City to look like. And the reason for it is driving that reduced congestion and safety on the roadways.
Moving up to that, it was very interesting. I know the mayor was very concerned about the gypsum trucks coming down and getting turned, go down Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they could come up with a solution for that, because it's very dangerous, big trucks right on Main Street. But they have to. There's no other else for them to go.
Yeah.
Another thing is the fire folks were looking and said they wanted a few of the trees taken out so that they could turn, so they didn't have to go up the long lane to get. And so they were going to take a couple of the tree places out and just have a bump that they can drive the fire trucks over.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like a really, they were going to change a few things like that.
Yeah, those drawings that were shown last night are very conceptual. And so once funding is identified, it will be much more detailed, and that's when it will be like, okay, we need these accesses here for public safety, whether it's police, fire, anything, and they could be refined a lot there. So the graphics there are just saying, you know, the consensus we heard from the community is they want more trees in the downtown area and wider sidewalks and more walkable area and bikeable. So that's the kind of the overall vision of it, is we want to make it that way, more trees, more walking and biking
and
opportunities.
They doubled the trees on Main Street.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yep. So, and once again, there'll be a lot of coordination with the individual property owners and public safety to say, make sure we get this design that works for everybody when we put those in. Yeah. So, any questions on the solutions development study for Cedar City? Okay, I think that's all I had updates on.
Thank you. Okay, do we have any other discussion items? Okay, so in that case, I would entertain a motion to adjourn the RTEC meeting.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Recording stopped.
Do we have a location?
We still have to reopen the meeting and vote as COG. Oh, it's yes.
Next time we're in Cedar City.
We are in Enoch.
Or Enoch, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No. We're there where we get the good food from Mary Chesa's wife.
That's right.
Who bakes. Okay, so we need to re-adjourn.
Recording in progress.
The COG meeting, it is September 13th at 2:52 p.m. We have two items. One is the SS4A grant match request. Is there anything else that needs to be said about that, or can we just entertain a motion for that?
Unless there are questions.
Okay.
We made this a recommendation again?
No, now you're making an approval as a COG.
Approval as a COG.
I'm going to approve the SS4A grant match request.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
And just add to the motion, $120,000 from the Corridor Preservation Fund.
I amend my motion to $120,000.
Thank you.
Okay. Motion. Do you need a second again, or can we?
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Now moving to approve the Cedar Belt Route Corridor acquisition.
I move to approve the purchase of the lots for the Cedar Belt Route Corridor acquisition.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Yes.
Molly?
Yes.
That amount is $202,000.
Okay.
You want to amend?
We need to amend that with the number?
$202,000.
I'll amend my motion to include that it's for $202,000.
Second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. And now I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move to adjourn.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motion carries.
Recording stopped.
Thank you for coming on the show. And that was seamless.
Very few problems in life, but it's all part of our community.